This half hour being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. Pickle bar led by my two personal favorites, the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. Look, we have tailgating, Thanksgiving, the rest of the holidays. Stock up now at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Well, I will say this, away from the broadcast, where he's brilliant anyway, you can't ask for a better guy to be paired up to play a couple of rounds of golf with during the course of the year than my buddy Mike Grimm from Minnesota. Each of the last 2 years, we have been paired up together, and we've had a blast. Mike, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Now, always great to be on. Looking forward to seeing you here in the Twin Cities. It'll be nice and chilly. I don't think we'll be golfing Friday or Saturday when you guys get to town, but always fun for sure to catch up. And yeah, those golfing outings are pretty good. We got another one, I think, hopefully coming up this summer.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Ennett this year. And then you claim.
You got
us in a couple of years, maybe.
We're going to get you into Minnesota to play a round of golf. By the way, I heard your commercial there. So February 3rd, Monday night, February 3rd, I mean, the night before the Gophers play the Nittany Lions in basketball. So maybe we can enjoy a brew and some pretzels.
You got that right, yeah. My friend. I'm looking forward to that. It'd be great to have you in town. All right. And you got Hazeltine all set up for this weekend? No, I'm just kidding. No.
I wish. Yeah. We're working on a few good courses, though. When we get that thing going, we're going to have fun.
We are going to have fun. It's also going to be fun for me to be out there when it's in the spring or the summertime, too. All right.
Yeah.
This football team, Minnesota, to me, is a really very good football team in so many ways. What have been the elements that have made this a really good team for PJ this season?
Yeah, I think the biggest factor is that they have not turned the ball over much, and the games that they force turnovers, they're amongst the nation's leaders now. They were number two for a long time, but they've gone now. They did not get an interception. I guess they got one interception against Rutgers, but they have turned the ball over a lot in terms of forcing turnovers, and they've kept good care of the ball. That said, they had a catastrophic turnover in that Rutgers game, right before the Gopher bye week, when the tight end fumbled, in their own red zone. I think it was a 13 or 16 yard line, so it was a short drive. And the other thing, PJ's teams have always been really disciplined. They have not been penalized much. In fact, PJ always hangs his hat on the fact that they're usually first, second, or third in the country in least penalized teams yardage wise. That has not been the case this year. They've played pretty mistake free in terms of not turning it over and then also making plays, particularly in the secondary, but they have had some untimely penalties, and I know it's driving him nuts, but I think turnovers have been the big driver. They're improved on offense from the previous couple of years. They really have missed Muhammad Ibrahim. Yeah. And they've gone to Steve more of a, what I would call kind of a short passing game. Mm-hmm. Darius Taylor, their running back, is not, he's not putting up the rushing numbers that we thought he might, but he is killing at receiving out of the backfield. I think he's the leader amongst running backs in total receptions, and he's likely going to break the all-time running back reception record at Minnesota. So they're utilizing him in some other ways, and so the offense has been a little more consistent, a little better, and the defense is much better this year than it was last year when the Gophers finished the regular season 5-7.
When they have not created turnovers, has it created a problem for them in terms of the ability to win the game? Have turnovers really been part of the critical part of the formula?
Yeah, no question about it. Even the Rutgers game, as I mentioned, they had the one catastrophic turnover. They were even on turnovers. I think each team had one, but the one that Minnesota had was a much bigger problem because it gave Rutgers a short field. Now, that said, Rutgers was throwing the ball into the end zone for a touchdown when Minnesota made that interception, but the Gophers are getting the ball back at the 20, and it was maybe even up, and then the rest of the game was even, and they had a couple of bad offensive line assignments where they gave up a safety on a sack, and so just some uncharacteristic mistakes, I would say. They really should have won the opener against North Carolina. That's one that's kind of going to hang over them, particularly when we get, you know, in a couple of weeks to the bowl pecking order, and you're starting to look, and if Minnesota's at 6 or 7 wins, and you're looking and say, oh, the Hawkeyes are at 7 or 8, and you know, Wisconsin's there at 6, or Nebraska's there at 6, or wherever it is, you're going to say, boy, the North Carolina game is the one. You know, just one win can push you in this pack without divisions, right? I mean, you can move from 10th to 5th in with one win. Right. And so that win, you know, they had the Big Ten kicker of the year had the ball on his foot to win the game at the buzzer, and he missed it by 2 feet, just wide right, plenty of leg, and I think that's the one that could keep the Gophers out of Florida, you know, and send them somewhere else.
Mike, Max Brosmer comes from New Hampshire. On the other side of the ball, Ethan Robinson from Bucknell, right here. Yep. What is it this staff sees in guys at other levels that they think will allow them to translate to this level? Because both of them have.
Yeah, and they've had success as well with in previous years as well, and the starting nickelback Jack Henderson is a similar story on this team. He's from southeastern Louisiana, a transfer from SCS. I think it's twofold, Steve. I think one, they have to look realistically at the recruiting pool, right? So, hey, you need a cornerback. Okay, well, who's after this guy? Oh, well, Penn State and Ohio State and Oklahoma, and it's like, I don't think Minnesota's probably going to win that battle. So now who can you get, and then who can you target? So FCS guys become pretty grateful for the opportunity. So they have to be strategic, and they have to be really good at evaluating, like you said, the translation. So I think the strategy is twofold, because it just, you know, there's a reality. There's a real life that coaches have to deal with. I mean, it'd be really, you know, delinquent for a head coach at Minnesota to say, well, we'll just go beat out Ohio State or Michigan for one of the top, you know, linebackers in the transfer portal. Probably not going to happen, right? So what can we do? How can we get it? The young man who just had that horrific injury from the Tennessee Titans against the Vikings last weekend, Jack Gibbons, I don't know if anybody saw that highlight where his ankle was just basically, Abilene Christian, transferred to Minnesota for his senior year, led the team in tackles, and was leading the Tennessee Titans in back-to-back years in tackles. And so they've identified guys, one, that fit the profile. P.J. Fleck has always talked about the fact that, you know, he wants a certain kind of guy. He is a unique individual. He knows that. He often says, I'm not for everybody. But if you can target a guy at the FCS level that, you know, they're going to want an all-conference guy, they're going to want an All-America guy, a guy that translates. Like Ethan Robinson is going to get a chance to play pro football. There's just no doubt about it. And they targeted him and said, look, this guy can be a starter from day one. And he's been really, really good. And Brosmer's work speaks for itself. I think he's, you know, when you're talking about an 18-team Big Ten, if you say you're in the upper half of quarterback, that means you're pretty darn good.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think he's had a terrific season to this point. But what was it they saw in him that said he could go from New Hampshire to playing in the Big Ten? I mean, what did PJ and those guys see in him that told them that? Because it's not like, for example, Will Howard going from Kansas State to Ohio State, right, and you saw him in the Big 12 championship game, or Cam Ward from Washington State down to Miami. What did they see?
Well, I think they saw all the yards he threw for last year, and the fact that he was a finalist for the Walter Payton Award, which goes to the top player in that division. So he was basically, depending on which publication or writers association you believe, he's either a first-team All-America quarterback or second-team All-America quarterback. So I think they probably thought to themselves, if we're going to go sink into FCS to get our quarterback, let's look at some lists first and see who's the best quarterback in that division. And Max Brosmer fit that profile. He had, you know, I think it was almost 40 starts. And then, as PJ likes to say, when you recruit the high school kids, you might start recruiting them as 10th graders, and you create a long standing relationship like a marriage, right? And then by the time they commit and then they sign, you know them, you know their family, and PJ is really sincere about that. It's not just lip service. They really are a close-knit group with these guys throughout the recruiting process. he calls the transfer portal speed dating, because you have to make a decision in about 3 days, right? A guy jumps in the portal. One, you have to decide, okay, do we want to offer him? Let's have a Zoom meeting with him. Let's have him come here. Let's go visit him, however you want to do it. And there's others that are interested. So he's like, that's more speed dating, and you have to have some instincts. And their instincts were that this kid could come in and be a day one starter and be a great leader. And their instincts were exactly right. He's one of the most impressive kids I've ever been around, Steve. You know, this is year 19 for me here. And we've had, you have it there too. Kids come through and there's some that you just put a star next to. You're like, man, that kid is going to, he gets it. And Max Brosmer is one of the most impressive guys I've dealt with at the college level. And he's worldly. His family has moved around a little bit. They've lived in a bunch of different places. And he's just been really impressive. So their instincts were right on him, and he's been really good decision maker in games. He has only 4 interceptions all season, and I would argue at least 2 of them were not his fault. And if you really pushed it, I think you could say 3 of the 4 interceptions were not his fault. So yeah, he's had a nice, nice year.
And I guess what he brought the receivers down to Georgia, to his family's home during the off season. What did that mean? Not only the cachet on the quarterback, but also for them to know him and bond with him.
Yeah, it was huge. They got together, and he invited him down to Georgia. And I guess their family has a place, a cabin nearby in South Carolina, so they spent part of the weekend there to start. I don't want to use the old cliche, but kind of kumbaya, right? Yeah. Sit by the campfire at the lake, go out on the jet skis and the boats, and just have some fun and get to know your quarterback. And then they went to Atlanta then for almost a full week. And they just did 7-on-7 stuff, right? Just, hey, here's the route tree. Here's how we're going to do it. This is the timing we need. He took them to an Atlanta Braves game, and I don't know who he knows or what they got. He's kind of a world traveler here, but he got these guys all personalized Atlanta Braves jerseys and got them down on the field to watch batting practice wearing their personalized, these receivers for the Gophers, their personalized Atlanta Braves jerseys, and then they watched the game from the stands. And so it was all part of it. The other thing he does, through NIL, he's a smart kid. He went out and worked an NIL deal with a local restaurant, and he brings his offensive linemen out to eat every Thursday night at this restaurant. And then, you know, they all tweet about it, and I don't think it's free food, but I think they get a nice discount, and Max Brosmer picks up the tab with what's left. And so he knows, take care of your receivers, take care of your linemen, and you're going to be okay.
Coy Parrish, you live there. You understand the state so well. What did it mean to not just the Gopher program, but to the state that he stayed?
It was big. I mean, and PJ and the staff have actually done I don't want to say a better job. I think they've re-emphasized, they've always recruited the Twin Cities Metro. Minnesota's a unique state. It's huge, first of all, right? Like, from the southern edge of the state of Minnesota to the Canadian border is about the same distance from the Minneapolis area all the way to St. Louis. So it's a long, like if you're in southern Minnesota, it's an 8 or 9 hour drive to Canada. So, and it's a lot of rural area out there, small schools, 8-man football. And so I think this staff, it took them a minute to figure out there might be some good players out there. Now, to be honest with you, one of the things that I think turned them into, like, hey, let's go recruit this outstate a little bit, was North Dakota State and South Dakota State, their success at the FCS level. And when you look at the North Dakota State rosters especially, it's full of Minnesota kids. Like, almost half the roster, some of their championship years are from Minnesota, outstate Minnesota, as they call it here, rural areas of the state. So they have made a much more aggressive find on some of these guys. And, yes, nobody else has offered them. We're going to do that, which maybe they didn't do that when they first got here. In Parrish's case, totally different. He's from a really small town up near Duluth, Minnesota, but an absolute rock star. He was offered by Oregon. He was offered by Ohio State. Mm-hmm. He probably could have picked his school. He was the PJ tells the story that he was, I don't know, whatever, it was Under Armour or Army All-American or one of the All-American games in Texas after his senior year. He called down to a coach that he knows that's on the staff that was coaching him. He said, yeah, Corey's looked okay. You know, I don't know. I don't know if the competition level is going to translate. And then Coy went out and had two interceptions, including the game winner in the end zone, and was named the game MVP. And PJ, felt pretty good about the commitment anyway, but he felt much better after that. Ohio State made a late push. Ryan Day flew a helicopter up here the day before signing day, and he stayed. So that meant a lot. I had him on my podcast about a month ago. Very soft-spoken kid, which I was surprised by, Steve, because he's such a confident player for a freshman. I don't think I've seen a more confident freshman come in and just kind of nonchalantly say, yeah, I'm pretty good, and I'm just going to go start. I'm just going to go make game-winning plays. I want to return punts. And so I was surprised by how soft-spoken he was for such a confident guy. But you could also just hear through the soft-spokenness how confident he was. I'll just share a quick story if you have time. His first sport was wrestling, believe it or not, when he was young. Because here in the Midwest and probably in Pennsylvania too, which is, I know, good wrestling country, that's really oftentimes the first sport is offered as a youth. Like in first, second, third grade, they got these mini wrestling tournaments. So his family put him in that. He ended up being a very good basketball player, quit wrestling, but he said that wrestling was kind of what set him into being so competitive and wanting to win. And I said, so when did you quit wrestling? He said, third grade. I said, what if you'd have stayed with it? And he goes, well, I don't want a state title and probably be wrestling in college somewhere, I think. And it wasn't like he was joking. He was just matter-of-factly like, yeah, that's what would happen. And I just got a kick out of it, just his quiet calmness and quiet confidence. And, man, when he puts a football helmet on, he is a special player, particularly for a true freshman.
When they've got him also back on punts and kickoffs. What kind of impact has he had, and what do his instincts mean in terms of his feel for the game and when he's returning kicks?
Yeah, very, very big impact. The kick returns have not been as successful. They haven't quite sprung one. He, at Illinois, had one where just a shoelace, he might have popped it, but he's had a 60-yard return in punt. It wasn't a touchdown, but he had a 60-yard punt return, and it's a disappointment if he doesn't, get 10 or 12 yards on a punt return, and as you know, that's not an easy thing to do. And at Minnesota, there hasn't been a real dynamic punt returner for a while. This is high praise because this kid was a first-round pick, and your listeners are well aware of him, but Cooper DeJean, the Iowa product,
right.
He reminds me so much of DeJean. One, they have the same number. They all, they both wore number 3 at college. Mm-hmm. They're both from these small towns, rural Iowa for DeJean and rural Minnesota for Coy Parrish, and they just have this ease of movement where you're like, they shouldn't be doing what they're doing. Like, how did that guy miss that tackle? That the vaunted fair catch, not fair catch, invalid deal that, the Gophers won that game on a couple years ago. Yeah. There's a still shot that's floating around where there's like 7 Gophers and the sideline. They basically had him encapsulated, and DeJean just somehow scored a touchdown on it. Now they got, it was called back, and it was the right call. It was the right call. We in Minnesota believe that was the right call. But this kid, Coy Parrish, has some similarities in just how they're light-footed. They're just fleet of foot, great lateral movement, and they just got an electricity. I mean, it's the first time in a while at Minnesota Stadium that when you force a punt, there's a buzz. Like, people are kind of holding their breath. And I think that's the way it was at Kinnick Stadium often when DeJean was back there waiting for a punt.
Finally, a lot of people, the weather, it's going to be 37 degrees. Not going to be any wind, for goodness sakes. Right. And everyone acts like it's 37 degrees all the time in Minnesota. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. Penn State's not used to playing in it. Neither's Minnesota. That's the part that makes me laugh all the time. Okay, it's been nice in both places for months.
Yeah, well, and I'll be quite honest, too, 34? In late November here for a football game, like, we've been -3 before, Steve, so this isn't terrible. I mean, this is fine. The Gopher players will be absolutely used to it. I would think Penn State guys, 34 is not like 0 or 10 below,
no.
Or a wind chill. I mean, 2 or 3 years ago, the Iowa game was like a -35 wind chill here on the second to last week of the year, and the stadium was about half full. Even the Iowa folks who drove up said, "Forget that, I'm watching from the hotel." it was really bitter. It was a terrible, terrible cold day. But I don't think weather, and I don't know what the wind forecast is, but I think 30 is fine. Like, that's not. I don't think that's going to decide who wins or loses this game. And What I'm really looking forward to is when and if you guys make the playoffs, hosting a game with, you know, somebody from the South on a 30-degree day in Happy Valley. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to see. I want to see, you know, Texas or somebody. It won't be Texas probably, but whoever you guys host, I want to see a Southern team try to come up and play in the cold.
You are the best, my friend. I'm looking forward to seeing you on Saturday, and I'll mark down February 3rd.
Yeah, outstanding, Steve. Always great to chat with you, man.
You're the best, Mike. Thanks so much.
He is. You got it. Take care, Steve.
He is one of the best in the business. Mike Grimm, the play-by-play voice of Minnesota, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.